What is going on, grandkids? Welcome to a very special edition of the Stunt Granny Audio. Very special because it's the knee-jerk edition. Two jerks here.
I have knees and I'm a jerk.
It's Eric and Dusty. Dusty, what's going on, bro? Cephas?
Hang on, I'm popping pills here.
All right. Make like house pot.
What I took earlier this morning starting to wear off, and my back is killing me, so there we go.
I need a backyotomy.
He told me about his love life. I'm impotent. Stay away from me, man.
Awesome. Oh, my goodness. Well, that makes at least three of us in the Stunt and Granny crew. Jeremy said today that he was doing Allegra, and he said that it was making him real loopy. And then,
okay.
Yesterday was my last day on my sinus antibiotic, so here we go, man.
Indeed.
Does that mean Kevin's the only one that's not taking anything right now?
Yeah. No, Kevin is totally clean. I believe that.
That granny will be holding its random piss test in about a week. Be careful if you see signs posted everywhere. Get Funaki to piss in a cup for you. All right. Well, we've got, let's see, I need to shut my car off, so hopefully we don't lose the Bluetooth connection here. Hold on. Okay. Are we still a show? Are we still live and in color?
Indeed. Eric
Fantastic.
Is in his car, people. He is on his way to Napa Auto Parts, right?
Yes. Yes, I am. My mom needs to get her wheel bearings fixed. And so I need to go to Napa Auto Parts in Ankeny, Iowa, to pick her up and give her a ride back home.
Ironic that, because she doesn't have her bearings, or?
Generally speaking, no, she does not.
Oh, okay. All right.
It doesn't take much to throw mom down the stairs these days. Sometimes
Eric has a great relationship with his parents. We could.
Yes. Something like that. So, we have what will probably turn into a lot to talk about, but we're actually going to hinge it upon one major topic and then just kind of see where that takes us from here.
Yes.
In fact,
and that major topic is Triple H.
Yeah, there's a guy who everything pretty much hinges off of him anyway. He manages to affect everybody's career in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
So,
to his liking.
Yeah, no kidding. I guess this stems from Dusty gets a hold of me on instant message today and says, I've been thinking a lot about Triple H's legacy.
Yes.
And so that's really the only preface I'm going to give it. I'm going to let you take it away, and you can lay it out for everybody like you laid it out for me or whatever you want to do.
Well, I'll try to give an abbreviated version here, just thinking about where he fits in the grand scheme of things. And I think if it were up to him, he'd be considered the number one guy of the post-Attitude era, the post-Austin Rock era.
Mm-hmm.
And the more I think about it, the more that's just not the case, because right around that time is when Shawn Michaels became the greatest worker of all time.
Oh, yeah.
And just buried Hunter in that way. And Hunter did himself no favors by being a mark for himself and wanting the last WrestleMania match and wanting, you know, the most prominent position on every card.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, by the way, his match has to follow Shawn Michaels' Undertaker. Or whatever, you know. And there's no way something like him versus Booker T or him versus Chris Jericho can follow something with Shawn Michaels giving the best work of his career, you know?
Right. Oh, yeah.
It's simply not possible.
Yep. Keep going, because as soon as you're done, I'm going to dial it back to day one, because you brought up a couple of things that were very interesting about Triple H's early career, too.
Okay. Yeah, we're going to put on a rest hold here. The second bullet point is, he really hurt himself by not doing jobs when he should have. When it wouldn't have hurt him one little bit to do one. And the perfect example is when he pulled a "you people" on Booker T, or I don't know if that's exactly what he said, but it was something like "you people."
Yeah.
Obviously racist undertones.
Yeah.
And then Booker T didn't win that match, you know? Triple H won that match.
Yep.
So, like, what the fuck here, you know?
Yeah.
Just total burial.
And shameful,
like,
too. And burial of burial of the wrestler, and I'm trying to think of another word of what it was, just for, you know, what am I looking for? Perception of the brand and perception of the way that this one wrestler is going to just Bigfoot over everything, including, like, good taste and common sense.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep, that's it. Yeah.
Okay.
And as Axel Rotten said in his shoot interview, it shouldn't matter if you do the 1-2-3 as long as you're figured in a prominent way and you're entertaining the people. It doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
But to Triple H, it always mattered. Win-loss record really matters to him.
It does.
And then,
I hope he never has a bad thing to say about Bret Hart when it comes to believing his own hype and believing in his own legacy.
Yeah, exactly.
That'd make him one of the bigger hypocrites around.
Exactly. And then just the third bullet point here is that now that Shawn Michaels is gone, Hunter still isn't the top guy because now John Cena's usurped him as a nationally known star and as a worker.
Yep.
Cena's not a great worker, but he'll give you 3-4-star matches, you know.
And he'll give you 100%. And even if his 100% is only worth a 3-star match, you know,
exactly.
He's still a company guy. And he didn't have to marry into the company to be a company guy.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And he's
like,
not a mark
I have a
for
feeling,
himself.
I have a feeling that John Cena existed during the time when, like, people were jumping back and forth from Raw to Nitro.
Mm-hmm.
Cena still would have stayed with WWE.
Oh, I'm sure. I guarantee.
Mm-hmm. He's just that kind of guy. So.
Yeah. Yep, exactly. Well, I'm going to take this actually. I'm not going to take it back timeline-wise further, but let me rewind about 2 more minutes. And I kind of half-heartedly said that this whole, you know, the topic of Triple H is something that every other wrestler's career hinges on. We're about, 10, whatever it is, days away from WrestleMania. And what we're talking about here is the wrestler who, and maybe I'm even jumping ahead by doing this, managed to shoehorn himself into what will now be the most important match on the card after being gone for 10 months, having a built-in feud ready for when he came back, and really just essentially came back out of nowhere and shoved people all the way down the card.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's, I don't know.
That's really what inspired this line of thinking in the first place.
Yep.
So you're exactly right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So let's take this back to Triple H making his WWE debut. WWF debut, 1995, a mullet-headed Eric Nelson booing him from the second row of Vets Auditorium in Des Moines, Iowa.
Indeed.
And you made a couple of good points about the early part of Triple H's career, and this is the time when he was that slow, plodding, that slow, plodding, methodical, tactical, cerebral-type wrestler that was wowing crowds into sitting in their entire seats. Possibly even leaning back and snoring.
Mm-hmm.
And you said that he had a couple of crucial points in his career back then.
So, within his first year with the company, he didn't figure in at all. And nobody was impressed with his work. Nobody was impressed with his anything, really. And that was still a point where you had to earn your way onto pay-per-views. Nowadays, there's 8 million pay-per-views, so everybody gets a turn, you know?
Yep.
Everybody gets a pay-per-view, everybody gets a title, basically. But even with the depleted roster in 95, you had to earn your way in there. He didn't make it for like 9 months until like he got shoehorned onto SummerSlam.
Yeah.
But he just wasn't impressive at all.
Right. And to interject here, I might end up, I can see myself drawing parallels as you talk here.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, another wrestler who
Nobody was impressed with his work when he first got there, and the main detractor was Triple H. Let's see, that happened with Chris Jericho. Probably happened with like Rob Van Dam.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So here there's a little paranoia in here, a little self-serving, you know.
Sure.
Survival of the fittest. Okay, go ahead.
Well, and then in 96, he almost got shit-canned because he was the only one they could punish out of the whole curtain call disaster.
Yep.
Because for whatever reason, X-Pac wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, he certainly would have been punished. All and Nash were leaving, and you can't punish Michaels because he's the champion. So Hunter almost got fired right there, and he certainly got buried. So,
yep. Well, there's a company man for you, and he learned a valuable lesson the hard way right there.
Mm-hmm.
You tow the fucking company line, or you're gonna lose your push. You're gonna get squashed by this guy. You're going to lose twice in the King of the Ring tournament.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. So you can understand then why he has this death grip on the reins of his career and why he insists on all this creative control and why he marries into the family and why he never jobs. You know, from his paranoid point of view, I see where he's coming from. But, you know, it's doing a lot of harm. However, something must have clicked at some point because a couple of years later, here's the guy who wrestled Goldust at two straight pay-per-views in 1997, the Royal Rumble and WrestleMania. I mean, there was probably a February pay-per-view in there. But you know what I mean, two straight, whatever. Back when there was still a big four. And they were pretty much universally panned as some of the most boring shit ever aired on pay-per-view.
They really were, man. Those were some awful matches.
Yeah.
And I really blame him because Goldust can have good matches, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Goldust is a good worker. As
yeah,
good of a worker as Marlena is to look at. So.
Yeah. That's right. Well, something must have clicked in with Hunter, and I don't know if his feud with Mick Foley helped or what, but
maybe.
Somewhere around 97, he started becoming a better wrestler.
Yeah.
And a better worker, for that matter, able to
maybe
work
it's just the law of averages. The more you do something, the more likely you are to be good at it eventually. I don't know.
There you go. It's kind of like people are always like, how did the Egyptians get so good at making pyramids? Well, and that's all the fuck you did your entire life.
Right.
You know. You wrestle day in and day out. Hopefully, eventually, you're going to get a little bit better.
Right. Exactly.
Unless you get cut off like Ted Arcidi or something like that. So then he learns how to entertain crowds, and he's getting this pop. He's getting the rub from his good buddy Shawn Michaels, and that's really another area where his huge ego gets inflated. He's made to look like the superstar because of his wacky sense of humor, and everybody's getting a good laugh out of it, including Vince, I'm sure, was guffawing at his toilet humor.
Right.
And he's working his way up to the top of that second tier while rubbing shoulders with the top tier wrestlers.
Yes.
And so he's getting that taste.
Yep.
And this is where the Attitude Era gets ushered in. Now, you mentioned earlier that he wishes to God that he could be the number one guy of the post-Attitude Era. So Attitude Era, we're talking Steve Austin, The Rock, Undertaker coming into his own more, McFoley's becoming a superstar. And where does Hunter fall in this? This is, I think, where I mentioned Fifth Banana earlier today.
During the Attitude Era, he's the top of the second tier. He, no better, because there's still Austin, Michaels, Rock, all these guys that are just much better, much more prominent.
Mm-hmm. A guy like Rocky who leapfrogs over Hunter in no time flat.
What's that?
Oh, well, if you consider Triple H comes in April of 95, and then Rocky comes in November of 96 and completely leapfrogs him.
Yeah.
You know, that's got to be embarrassing. Shit, Steve Austin did the same thing. He came in at the end of the year that Hunter debuted.
Right.
He leapfrogged, too. He, So, again, here's paranoid Triple H worried about his spot.
Yep.
So let's talk about this
Do you think that that inborn paranoia is part of the reason he befriended the Click in the first place?
Oh, I wouldn't doubt it. I mean, he knows where his bread is buttered. He knew who to hang out with then, and he knew who to marry later.
Right, exactly. Just seems like the guy has a history of accidentally falling into the right situations, you know?
Yeah, no kidding. Here's kind of an interesting thought, too. So I was reading an article. Let's see. I was reading something about Triple H. If it wasn't today after we started talking about him, it was in the very recent past, talking about being trained by Killer Kowalski and how he came up the old school way and, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
But then you look at a guy like, I don't even know where the parallel here is, actually. I read something about Shane Douglas today, and he got his start. You know, he was trained by Dominic DiNucci, who wasn't probably as well known as Killer Kowalski, but whatever. And he came up the old school way and went through the territories. And this maybe plays into the power trip thing, but, you know, in 1995, you got the Click, including Triple H, shitting all over a guy like Shane Douglas.
Right.
I don't want to go backwards too much in time, but, you know, you can just kind of see. This is Hunter's, he'll step on toes and keep on walking.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, wasn't that the beef lately about John Cena? Weren't people coming out of the woodwork to say, oh, yeah, John Cena will shake your hand to your face and then he'll stab you in the back?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. That sounds familiar.
Like, I don't believe that about John Cena. I don't think he has that personality. I don't think he has any personality.
Well, and I don't think there's anybody in WWE right now who doesn't have their rightful spot that he could have stepped on or stepped over.
No, not really.
You know, he's done everything in his means to kowtow to assholes like Triple H bow down to The Rock and share a beer with Stone Cold and suck Hulk Hogan's penis and and all this stuff. It's like, who did he fucking step on? Funaki? Did he, you know? Did he worm his way over Scotty Two Hotties' career? Or what?
Oh,
I don't get it. Yeah, that was terrible.
Oh.
That didn't even make sense. That was the worst mixed metaphor / poorly constructed analogy ever.
Okay. All right.
Anyway. Yeah, please take over because I shouldn't be babbling this much.
Well, I don't even know where we are at this point.
Let's talk post-attitude, Eric, because this is where we get into the point where, okay, Steve Austin's hurt, The Rock is starting to make movies, Undertaker's going through a gimmick change, Mick Foley's retired, Hunter's, like, chomping at the bit, salivating, rubbing his hands together. So let's talk about this couple of year era here. And Shawn Michaels is out of the picture.
Yeah, this is the key era for Hunter, where Shawn Michaels isn't back yet, and Hunter gets free reign of the playground.
Yep.
And I would argue that he didn't do enough, you know, to capitalize on it. That was some of the worst WWE's ever been, you know, maybe.
Yeah. For a lot of that time period, yes, it was.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's really like, God, I mean, and this is where I would say that he earned possibly being the worst long-term main eventer ever. I mean, it's the worst since his buddy Diesel in 95. Where 95 was so bad, except for the month and a half that Bill Watts was booking.
Right. That's right.
So,
well, let's look at some of the things that Hunter did. So we're talking like, we're not totally out of the Attitude Era in 2000, but, you know.
No, it was a very successful year for them.
Yes. He's main eventing with Rock most of the year, and that's going well. But you got guys coming in like Benoit and Guerrero, who he insists on squashing immediately.
Yeah.
Taz comes in as the ECW champion for, you know, he was already there, and then he had to do that ECW title switch, and then Triple H squashes him on SmackDown.
Right. And I'd like to point out real quick, it's different because what they do now is they'll rubber band you. Here's a little push, here's a little push. Nope, 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 you got to earn it.
Yeah.
And what they were doing at that time was just complete burial, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So different in this case. I just wanted to answer that before somebody pointed it out, you know?
Yep.
Well, it's the same thing they do now. Well, no, not really.
Yeah. Yeah, there's more give to the give and take than there used to be.
Yep. Yeah.
And then you get into 2001, you know, Austin comes back and he's doing the kind of goofy heel gimmick thing, but that is what it is.
Yeah.
Rocky is leaving again. But so Hunter, what it looked like to me, he had a taste of success. He had his WrestleMania main event, albeit in a four-way match.
Mm-hmm.
He probably feels like he deserves it again and manages a match against The Undertaker, but he still sees
right.
Steve Austin and The Rock in the main event that year. After he worked his ass off for the entire year of 2000, right?
Yes.
So, and then, of course, he injures himself.
Of course. This would become a theme, too. Yeah.
Oh, and real quick, the company man shooting up steroid after steroid, Diana Paul by Deca Duravlin.
Right.
This is like the beginning of the Quadruple H era.
Yep. With arms the size of the Ultimate Warrior.
Yeah, really. So, I mean, he's making himself fragile in an effort to be this WWF poster boy. And
right.
ends up becoming so brittle that a simple, well, I don't remember exactly what move it was now. Jericho talks about it in his book. Something simple ends up shattering the quadriceps muscle from Triple H.
Right. Isn't it ironic that you build your body up to look like it's indestructible and that makes it all the more destructible?
Yeah, really.
Just find that funny, that's all.
Batista! Oh, excuse me.
Ho-ho-ho!
I had an asthmatic fit there for a second, sorry.
Illness going on here on the Stunt Grandy Audio.
Looks like I need to take another pill. So what we've got here is a bit of a career setback. We've got a guy who's attached himself to powerful people, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
He has, I think my phone's going to beep again. Hold on a second. I'm going to babble and call it down. There it beeps. So he's attached himself to powerful people. He's gone from mediocre, boring wrestler into entertaining wrestler, in part thanks to his kind of shitty personality that we're only just kind of unveiling and ability to work the crowd a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Paranoid, potentially.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. To working his way up to a WrestleMania main event and hanging in there with the main eventers, multiple-time world champion. Now he's got a 9-month setback with this quad injury.
Right.
Does this add more fuel?
During which time I didn't miss him.
Yeah. Yeah, well, when he came back, are you telling me that when he came back on that Monday Night Raw with the short-sleeve T-shirt under the long-sleeve T-shirt, under the leather jacket, under the denim jacket, under the leather jacket, you didn't leap out of your seat?
It was like a human clown car.
That's awesome. I was thinking a Russian doll, but that's way funnier.
Oh, yeah, like a nesting doll. Yeah, that's good, too.
Jesus, clown car. That's fucking great.
It's just each layer of clothes represents a new clown, you know?
Yeah. So. That's awesome. So does this add more fuel to Triple H's inner fire then? Is he worried about his spot? Is he content?
Oh, of course.
Okay.
Of course he's just, at this point, just insane about it because he has to get it back if he lost it, you know?
Yeah.
So, all this stuff is just so damaging, and he doesn't realize it, you know?
Yeah.
It's just behavior.
Yeah. Yeah, and now it's becoming kind of ingrained in his behavior. It's not just like instances. Now it is his behavior. Oh, I'm going to bury that guy. Oh, that guy can't work. Oh, I'm going to stand here for 20 minutes and talk shit. and only some of it's going to be funny. I'm going to say the word crap a lot.
Right. Somewhere along the way, he totally lost his sense of humor. So heel singles wrestler Triple H is like the least humorous wrestler ever.
Yeah.
Where he just walks around calling people pukes and scumbags and, you know, all that crap, you know.
Yeah. And Dean Patton, what a piece of crap.
Yeah, you know. Jeez. Exactly.
Well, there's something I just can't quite figure. Why do I gotta wrestle this guy? He's a piece of crap. And then he just, like, pauses and waits for everybody to laugh.
That's great.
Another thing that he does here, so, okay, he's learned the art of attaching himself to the right people and burying everybody else.
Yeah.
By this point, he's well into his marriage with Stephanie McMahon, and he's seeing the potential for his good buddy Shawn Michaels to come back, and he starts burying Shawn Michaels.
Yeah. Yeah, that's just it.
Mm-hmm. What a shithead.
The guy who placed him on the map in any way whatsoever to begin with, you know?
Yeah. What a prick.
Yeah. Yeah.
So then here comes the next crucial point in your outline. Shawn Michaels returns from a 4-year absence to begin putting on the greatest matches of his career for about an 8-year span, better than the previous, 14 years of his career?
Yeah, I would say.
And how does this make Triple H feel?
Probably shitty, you know? Because he wants to be the focus, and it doesn't matter where you put Shawn Michaels on the card and who you put him against, it's going to be great.
Yep.
Like I said, this is what inspired this line of thinking anyway. Because now, Triple H is probably going to headline WrestleMania against Undertaker.
Yep.
And he's going to want what Shawn Michaels had, you know?
Oh, God, yeah. 2 years in a row, he probably just sat there jealous as fuck.
Yeah, exactly, because he followed it because he wanted to, because I have to.
Yep.
And now he thinks, well, this will make up for it. And it's not.
No, it's going to be a 42-year-old guy versus a 46-year-old guy.
Yep.
Both of whom have been off for almost a year.
Yep.
One of whom is at least wrestling dark matches here and there. The other one's not yet.
Yeah.
10 days away from the biggest card of the year, and they're trying to position themselves as the biggest match on the card.
Right.
Yeah, you got an uphill battle here, pal.
Which I'm in favor of that if the match is going to outshine the title matches.
Yeah.
But not in this case.
I can't see how it would.
This should be a WrestleMania where the young guys are really put over. Alberto and fucking Miz and I don't know who the hell else, you know, whoever.
Even CM Punk is newer than
Punk. Yeah.
There's no, and it's funny too, there's no Money in the Bank match to elevate one more new wrestler. But, I forgot where I was going to go with this. I apologize. I kind of lost track of what I was going to say. I might go back to just, maybe we should just run through the next 8 or so years. Oh, I know what it was. And this is exactly what I was going to do, is run through the next 8 or so years. So Triple H, pretending once again to be the company man, must go to Vince McMahon and say, you know what, I know how important it is to put over new wrestlers and get rid of some of these other pieces of crap. Have a feud with Randy Orton.
Right.
And then he shits all over Randy Orton. Well, I have a feud with Batista. Oh, that puts him in the main event of the show because they're on Monday Night Raw instead of SmackDown where John Cena and JBL are.
Yeah.
You know what? I don't think John Cena's got enough rub yet. Why don't I lose to him in the main event of WrestleMania 22? That'll really put him over.
Right.
That, to me, is where Triple H's head is at.
not to get too sidetracked, but you know who I think made Orton for real real on the real real is Mick Foley, same guy
with
who
their,
made Triple H.
Yeah, with their hardcore feud.
Yeah.
There you go.
And there,
like
I'm embracing Mick Foley a lot today for somebody I don't like at all. There's
yeah,
a lot of
praise. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, yeah, I mean, this is where we are, and now, you know, Triple H can say he's been up and down the road, he's given back to the business, yeah, or something like that. And really, again, what he's done here is, you know, he had the perfect opportunity to come back and help make Sheamus his good buddy.
Right.
Not to do that. Saw a card where a guy like The Miz, who really, for all intents and purposes, could be a main eventer for the next 5 years. I was worried going into WrestleMania this year. I'm like, putting Miz on the poster, is that really going to sell any extra buys?
Right.
And it goes back to what you say, that WrestleMania sells itself. That's not an issue.
No, no, right.
But, I mean, I watched Miz on Conan O'Brien last night, and that guy is a, I've always liked him. Well, always. I've liked him, you know, for the last year or so, a couple of years. This guy's a fucking superstar.
Yep.
The Miz is exactly what WWE needs for a public face.
Yes.
So Hunter's seeing all this going down, and he's like, God damn it. What can I do?
Right.
So he chooses to piggyback off his buddy's success.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what we're left with now. Two brittle, broken down old men.
Yeah.
Probably going to main event WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
In a match that's being touted in a video package by Harley Race, who looks about as healthy as my grandma right now. P.S. My grandma passed away 3 years ago.
I knew it. I knew it.
They have the same curly hair and same, like, skinny throats, even though they used to be fat.
The ex-fat person's skinny throat is really scary to look at.
It is. Yes, it is. Especially on a man who currently sort of looks like a woman, or at least has a woman's haircut.
Yes. Yes.
And who could still whip my ass five ways.
Harley is awesome, man. Let me just
yeah.
throw that out there.
He is.
He's
right.
Not like fucking Mick Bockwinkle, who was born in 1936 and invented a time machine. We could wrestle in the 80s. He was born in black and white and just painted himself. So
yeah, his theme music got to be one of those honky tonk pianos from the silent films.
That's right. The piano that plays itself.
Yep.
yeah,
exactly. Oh my god. That would have Daniel Bryan's Flight of the Valkyries beat all the shit. If like
yes.
if Colt Cabana were ever able to resurrect his Matt classic character
yeah. Yeah.
and he came out to the sounds of a honky tonk player piano.
That would be awesome.
That'd be fucking great. Oh, man. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we kind of fast-forwarded through a few years, but I think it helps that, you know, Hunter
well,
just kept doing the same thing year after year for a while. So here he is being
mm-hmm.
shown up by the people who are able to show him up, and he's trying to find a way to shove him back down.
Yeah, no, I mean, let me just preface this. I understand I'm not breaking new ground by any of this, but, I mean, it's just, it's on my mind lately because of what's going to happen at WrestleMania, you know?
Yep.
You know, so it's kind of got new life as an argument because of that. And
yep, I agree.
You really start to wonder, you know, what the hell this guy's thinking.
Yep.
Basically.
Oh, let's see. I don't know. Any other topics of interest? I feel like I'm about 5 minutes away from Napa Auto Parts, so I got about a good 5 more minutes of discussion in me.
Oh, you know, I hear that's a good place to get wheel bearings, but I'm trying to turn them into a sponsor for us, so I hope they hear this audio and they understand how much I appreciate their quality products, but
and the yellow hard hat they put on the top of their truck.
that is the bomb, dude. It really is.
I can't think of too many other topics going on in pro wrestling that are, you know.
Well, how about I just mention real quick the Blog Talk Radio with Ian Rutten, where he gets ethered.
Yes, you mentioned Axel earlier, who all came out of nowhere to be the voice of reason. Now let's hear what people are saying about Ian Rutten.
Yeah, I love Axel Rutten, by the way. He's just a good guy. You know, he's had some problems in his life, but he's a genuine good guy. He's done like three shoot interviews now, and they're all, you know, real entertaining and informative, and you should seek them out if you can. And he sent a cease and desist to Ian at one point to give him back his name. And Ian basically ignored him because he said, like, everybody who comes in contact with Ian, you know, has, like, a bad opinion of him, you know, and I can't blame him. He just owes thousands of dollars to everybody, you know, and, like, the big thing was he was selling drugs to a drug addict in the locker room, you know?
He sounded more and more like my brother, everything you say about him.
J.C. Bailey or whatever his name is, he paid him in pain pills.
Oh, my God. That's fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, no, it's like, he's just he's trash. He's just trash, you know? And he was interviewed in this audio and, like, Bull Payne and Mickey Knuckles and a whole bunch of people just ethered the fuck out of them. So
wasn't Ian Rotten the guy behind IWA Mid-South who puts all these people in situations to be hurt and then puts on like fundraiser shows for them, like, oh, Mickey Knuckles got her fucking spine split straight down the middle from C1 all the way down to L12 and
yes.
And because I put her in that position, oh, but I'm going to hold a fucking fundraiser for her where I charge about $15 a ticket to these unwanted people. And bring your own weapons. Hey, that's what we'll do. I'll charge them $15 and a fucking egg frying skillet to get in the door. And, oh, old Payne's going to split his skull open from ear to ear. And this one, whoops, better put on another fundraiser that five people are going to come to. Better do it. Abandoned Kmart parking lot. Ooh, Shopper Supply. Maybe we can break in and loot the place and find a nice broom handle to hit somebody with. Oh, there's another fucking dead and dying wrestler in my hands. Oh, I've got a medicine cabinet full of payback.
Right.
What a fucking twat.
So April 7th, they were supposed to have a comeback show for IWA. And
great, just what they needed. But what another fucking... wanted another Kmart closed down. They needed something to do in the parking lot.
some Kmart in Louisville must have closed down. I don't know what the fuck. And people were ethering Ian to the venue, you know, the people who own the venue. So Ian put down a deposit, like, oh, I'm really trustworthy. Here's a deposit. I don't know how the fuck he got the money. I don't want to think about how he got the money.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't his money.
As long as plasma isn't going back into other people's bodies, then I'm not going to ask any questions.
And then the venue shuts down the show and keeps the deposit money. So that's pretty LOL right there.
Yeah. Seriously, how awesome is that? All the fucking money that it took him like a year to save up.
Right.
All $300 to reserve that VFW hall that he spent 1 year trying to collect. Now all of a sudden the fucking venue switches. That's great. And by the way, I love the fact that you used the term ethering. I'm adapting that term. I'm officially calling it kellering. After what Wade Keller and Bruce Mitchell did to ECW and getting them and taking them off, or essentially getting them kicked off pay-per-view because of what
they
said, I'm officially calling it kellering.
And then they lied about it afterwards, but that's another story. Mm-hmm.
Yep, that's right. Oh, my God. Well, hey, I just pulled up to Napa Auto Parts, and my mom's anxious to get in my truck. So,
I bet she's dancing around, pointing at you, pointing at her car.
Yep. It's true.
Need help here.
She did. She literally pointed this way and then pointed that way. God, this is fantastic. This is like my family photo album episode of Stunt Granny Audio.
I know. It just turns out your mom is exactly my mom. But anyway.
Nice. All right, well, I'm going to let everybody go because it's time to do my family business. So everybody have a good evening, night, whenever you listen to this, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, well, for Eric Nelson and Bull Payne's Split Open Skull, I'm Dusty Keeving. This has been Stump Grainy Audio, number Who Gives a Fuck, and we'll try to do better next time.